That's not true. Check, check, check. Give me a couple checks if you would.
Hello. Check. 1, 2. Testes. Testes. Check. But you got the better mic.
You damn right I do. I'm the host. I'm sitting here with Jonathan Treadway.
Hello, y'all.
I guess let's start. Where were you born?
I was born right here in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Okay.
On top of the hill in the Elwood Hospital.
I got you. What was the first time you remember wanting to play music?
It's a combination of things. You know, I grew up in church, and so that was my first introduction to music and first time I ever sang in front of anybody was at church. And but doing that really didn't make me want to play music until when I was like 11, I discovered the Doors. And like, that's when I was like, I want to do that. I want to feel that magic that I'm here and now. I want to play that kind of magic, you know? But I didn't start my first band till I was like 16 though.
So you're 16. So yeah. When you're 16, are you still in Bowling Green?
Yeah.
All right. Now what's the name of your first band?
It was called Orange Attic.
Orange Attic? ATTIC?
Yes.
All right. Who was in Orange Attic?
Eric Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
The drummer's name was Matt.
Is that all we're getting for the drummer?
And I can't remember the other two guys' names. It's been like over 20 years.
Did you play at like parties or school?
Well,
or
we played, our first show was at Western Kentucky University at night class. We opened up for a group called Marijuana Catfish, and we got booed our first show.
And are you singing?
I am singing.
You're just singing. You're not playing anything. You're just singing.
Just singing. And we got booed. But that was cool because we were punk rock, so.
Right. So are you doing covers or originals?
We were doing all originals. And then we played our next show like 3 months after that. And we didn't get booed, so.
Do you remember any of the lyrics to the songs from that band? Spout some verse, if you would.
I'm kind of ashamed to say any of them because I was like 16.
Everybody is. That's the point
of
this.
Well, the first song I ever wrote was like really stupid. The lyrics went... It was like really punk rock, really fast. It was like, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know what you're doing with me. I don't know what you want with me. I don't know why.
Just, you know, a theme of I don't know.
Really profound. Yeah. But luckily, I like developed as a songwriter throughout the years.
Sure, sure. So you're an Orange Attic. What was the end of that band?
The end happened probably like a year later, and then me and Eric stayed together, and we became a band called River, which is one of the worst names for a band ever. It's stupid.
What did River sound like?
River was like a weird like grunge meets punk rock.
What year would have this been?
This is like the Orange Attic was like 1992. And then, like, River is, like, 93 to 94.
Uh-huh. And it's just you and Eric and River?
Yeah, there were some other guys that, I mean, you know, like, I had too much fun in the 90s, so I don't remember.
Did you play anywhere as River?
Yeah, we played battle bands. We played, like, house parties, night class, stuff like that.
What's the next group?
The next group that came out of that was like the first like serious group that I was involved in, and that was called Grand Monster.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like senior year of high school that started. And we played like Armory shows, night class.
The Armory was a big deal.
Yeah.
Back then.
That was a great scene. I mean, it was very affordable to rent, and like, you play a show and there'd be like 400 people show up.
Right. And who was in Grand Monster?
Oh, man, you're like putting me on the spot here.
Yeah. Who was it?
I should know.
We're not that old. I mean, it's 20-ish years ago, let's say. Who was
Eric
in your
Curtis
band?
played guitar.
We know Eric's in all the bands so far, but who else was in this band?
Matt George played drums.
There we go.
That's Matt's last name. And then a guy named Todd played bass. I forgot his... I forgot his last name, man.
It's like you're... Sure. Sorry.
I think Todd's name was Roddy, maybe. I don't know.
Some guy named Todd. I'm sorry. It's just... It's like you're just hanging out one day as a band. You're like, man, I wish we had a guitar player. Some dude named Todd just wandered up with a guitar. We never questioned it. We just played music with Todd.
I just Todd lived in the trailer park on Lover Road and went to our high school.
He got some background on Todd, though.
He was a strange guy, but really cool. Yeah. Didn't talk a lot. And then in Grand Monster, we had a keyboard player, David Prater.
How long was Grand Monster around?
A few years. So it was like into high school and then like a few years after that.
Right. What's the first time you played for a 21 and up establishment?
I think it was Grand Monster. The first time we played like a bar.
What bar was it?
Might have been Susie Q's, which was on Adam Street. That used to be a famous club called Gary's.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's all torn down, you know, Western tore pretty much everything down that area. And but I think that was the first bar. I mean, in Grand Monster we played Army shows, of course, and coffee shops around town. Night class at Western.
You play like Cafe Voltaire.
I never played Cafe Voltaire. I hung out there a lot, and a lot of musicians at the time did.
Right.
The coffee shop we played at was it's on Main Street. What was it called? I can't even remember the name of that coffee shop. I'm the worst, you know.
Oh, that's good. We'll skip. So after Grand Monster, what do you do?
Grand Monster broke up, and then Eric Curtis and I started our next venture, which was called Porn Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't sing about porn or anything like that, but that was our name.
And then, if I'm not wrong here, I think Porn Lord probably played at the Armory as well, right?
Yeah.
And the reason I say this, you're a little bit older than I am, but I remember coming to Bowling Green. Of course, I'm from Butler County, where there's nothing. We would come up here and we'd go to the Armory. And we watched these shows where it just seemed like that's what I want to do one day.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I ever saw you. That's the first time I ever saw Michael McMillan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, playing Temple Hill shows. Like, that was the first time I saw a lot of the people that I'm familiar with now. Yeah. But I didn't talk to you because you guys are just enough older than me that I was like, they won't think I'm cool. But and I wasn't playing music at the time. Yeah. I would actually just go and watch you guys play at the Armory. It was like a Temple Hill, Porn Lord, Bean, Sixth Floor.
Yeah.
I mean,
that it was a great time.
It was all those bands. But that's the first time I ever saw, well, I guess you and Eric Curtis, although at the time I didn't know it was you. But
yeah. That was a great scene and time, those Armory shows. And there was some magic going on in Bowling Green then. Something was germinating. And I don't know. I feel like our own, like it was like a secret,
right? You know? Yeah.
And then, like a decade later, the world found out our secret.
Right. I hesitate to ask, but who else was in Porn Lord?
Porn Lord was Eric Curtis on guitar, David Prater on keyboards, and samples, and then me on vocals. Eric Curtis's brother, Mark Curtis, mm-hmm. was on drums, and Shelby Smith was on second guitar.
Right.
And Jeremy Hook was on bass.
There you go. You know everybody in Porn Lord. Yeah. So how long
That was the band that, like, after Grand Monster Porn Lord was kind of like huge at the moment,
right,
in the scene, you know.
No, you were, yeah.
And
I'm glad you mentioned Shelby. I'd completely forgotten that Shelby was in Porn Lord, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, him and Jeremy were in a band called Dark Dominion, and Mark Curtis played in that band too. And so, like, they were fans of Grand Monster and would come to our shows. And I think we played some shows together. And then, like, you know, we're just friends. Of course, you know, Eric's little brother, we're friends with him. And everybody he was friends with. So, you know, when Grand Monster broke up, we were looking for players. And
yeah, go to your buddies.
It just made sense. Yeah. Like, hey, I would like the way you play music. You like the way we play music. Let's get together and make some magic.
All right. And how long did Porn Lord play?
Porn Lord was together from like 1999 to like 2001 or right. 2, something like that.
Right. Yeah. So what?
Not very short lived, but.
What do you do after Porn Lord musically?
I think after Porn Lord, Eric and I started a band called Sin and Stereo, and Matt DeVore played drums, and that. That was a very short-lived band. Didn't play out very much. We did open up one time for that cheesy band Soil that was on Ozfest back in the day.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
But, yeah, that's what we did. My mind's kind of foggy on a lot of stuff.
It's good.
Man.
I apologize. After that, what do you do?
After that was I was in a short-lived band with Wade England from Glasgow. Called Fear of Silence.
Fear of Silence.
Yeah.
Okay.
We played around mainly Glasgow.
And okay.
We played in Bowling Green some too, but it didn't last very long, like a year maybe. And then like a folk duo called Empty Chairs for a short time.
Empty Chairs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Guitar player named James Catalan, who went on to play with Mark Beagle.
I know James, yeah.
And then I was in another acoustic duo called the Boogeyman Jubilee with Chad Coleman.
Fun fact, to throw a bit of my own life in that, my brother-in-law's name is Chad Coleman.
Really?
Yeah, just not the same guy.
I wonder if they could be related somehow.
I don't know. I'll have to check, but yeah.
Chad
Coleman. Boogeyman Jubilee with Chad Coleman.
Yeah, it was like really sad bastard.
That is is that Sister Bowling Green?
Yeah.
I'm aware of that, yeah.
My love-hate ode I wrote to Bowling Green.
I remember that song very much.
I really like those lyrics, too. Kind of proud of those, but not so much the first song I ever wrote.
after that, what are you doing?
And then after that, I think the last band I was in was El Masivo.
Mm-hmm. And who's in El Masivo? If you get this wrong, it's going to look really bad.
Michael Everton.
Yes.
Who is also dead to camera now. Dave Shaver played bass. Greg Ed played drums. And, of course, me on vocals. Right. And El Masivo was, like, my favorite band I was ever in. The most fun. I mean, those shows, you know, we played Louisville and Nashville and Bowling Green. But our Tidball shows were probably some of the funnest shows I ever played.
Right.
I always played in front of a packed house. And
what kind of music would you call El Masivo?
El Masivo was like Kentucky groove metal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really like tuned low, a lot of low end, but a lot of groove and a lot of bluesy elements to it and metal, but not stereotypical metal. I mean, there was a lot of kind of break down in grooves that, you know, we kind of envision ourselves as like, what if James Brown's band, the JBs, played metal, you know? We wanted the girls to shake it and the guys to headbang, so that was our sound.
Seemed like the perfect combination.
Yeah, and that happened at the shows, you know?
Right.
So it was an interesting fan base we had, and it was fun music to play, and, you know, we do the reunion shows every so often. Those are always fun.
Let me ask you this. What's your favorite show you ever played?
One of my favorite shows is the Battle of the Bands I did with Porn Lord.
Okay.
Did
you win?
No, we did not win.
Oh, that sounds... Okay.
We had to even change our name to be in the Battle of the Bands.
Right.
It was held at a high school. But there was like 1,000 people in that gym. And then I think one of the bands that played was Cage Elephant's high school band, Perfect Confusion.
Yeah,
that they played also, and then they went on to form the same band pretty much, but
yeah,
they became Cage with like two members changing up. But anyway, that was one of my favorite shows, just because it was like first time I played in front of that many people, and it was like an electric night. Like, we played two songs, and it was like the funnest two songs I ever played. And like looking out and seeing like hundreds of kids like in a pit, like getting down,
right, actually
was,
into it.
Yeah, yeah, it was cool, and it was fun, and that sticks in my memory, you know.
Why do you play music?
I play music because, you know, ever since I was young, it drove me. I mean, I'm driven to write music and to play. It's hard to explain, man. It's magic when you play, to me. And when you're, I like the intimacy of writing music with other people.
Mm.
I like the communication between a crowd and the band when you're playing a show. It's hard to explain to people who don't play music.
Right.
You know the feeling.
Sure.
When you're playing a show, can be like magical and make you feel like an out of body experience, you know? And, it's like better than any drug you can ever take when you're playing a really great show in front of a great crowd, and the energy's falling back and forth. I mean, that's one of the reasons I play music, just for that communication with my fellow humans, you know.
Do you think, if you kind of go back in time, kind of Back to the Future style, and tell yourself one thing that it took a while to learn, what would you say to yourself? Or would you just let it happen as it did?
I mean, it took me a while to really find myself as a performer and a songwriter. But I think that happens with every artist, you know. And it took me a long time to really get comfortable on stage. I wouldn't have drank as much when I was young. When I was young, I thought like, oh, you drink, you'll get more comfortable on stage. Mm-hmm. But really looking back on it, it just made it worse. And, you know, like, there's a couple times I drank too much because I thought I was like, oh, that's what you do when you're a lead singer, you know.
It's an easy trap to fall into.
You know,
sir,
I ended up passing out on stage or something, you know, and falling off stage. I mean,
yeah.
I embarrassed myself when I was young a few times there, you know. Mm. But, it took me a while to, like, find myself as a performer, like, and feel comfortable. And that's why, you know, like El Masivo's, I had the most fun, because like by the time that happened, I was in my late 20s.
You figured yourself out to
late
20s,
early,
right?
30s, and I figured myself out. And then, you know, I had no delusions of grandeur anymore about being a rock star. I was just like, I'm just immersed in these songs and having fun, and
you're doing it for you.
Yeah, and I was doing it for me. And I think the problem with a lot of bands too, there's nothing wrong with being driven and having dreams of making it, but it shows in your performance and your songwriting if that's your only goal.
Right.
You know, you gotta write music for yourself.
You gotta enjoy it.
Yeah, and you gotta enjoy
it. You should.
And the more you enjoy it, the more you'll get a fan base, you know. And it took me a while to figure out, like, you know, what I should be doing. I shouldn't be focusing on trying to make it. I should just focus on being the best artist I can, and being true to myself and just having fun. Because life's too short to just like try to focus on making it. And because, you know, odds are you're not, and then you'll just be disappointed. But, you know, like looking back on my music career, I never made it in a traditional sense, but I mean, I brought joy to people over in the region, and that's good enough for me. And I brought joy to myself.
Right, that's
and
good.
That's all that matters as a musician. Right. Like looking back, when I'm on my deathbed, I have no regrets in my musical for not getting a record deal or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like I played in front of a packed house where people sang my lyrics back to me. That's
a good
that's
feeling.
That's all I can die happy because I've had that magic moment. You know, there's people who would kill to have that experience.
Right. What's the best place to play music in Bowling Green?
Tidballs by far.
All right. And let me ask you this. What is the best song of all time?
My favorite group ever is The Doors.
All right. What's the best Doors song?
In my opinion, the best Doors song is Not to Touch the Earth off their third record, called Waiting for the Sun. But the song Waiting for the Sun is not on Waiting for the Sun. But, I mean, a lot of people would disagree with me that that's their greatest song. It's probably not the greatest song ever, but I don't know, man. I think, to me, one of my favorite songs is Love Supreme by John Coltrane, but I'm a big jazz head. But I don't know.
So
anything Robert Johnson wrote.
Sure. Okay.
Hank Williams, anything he wrote. It's the greatest songs ever written.
What's more important? You enjoying what you do or everybody else enjoying what you do?
You enjoying what you do, because I mean, if you enjoy the band you're in, you enjoy what you're writing and what you're performing, the audience will. It would be infectious. But when a band, you can tell when a band's like posing and doing things just to make an audience like them.
Right.
And that won't always get you fans, and it's kind of cheesy when you can see it.
And also, you don't feel as good, right?
Yeah, you don't feel as good, and it won't be fun shows.
Yeah.
But if you're true to yourself and the band's true to themselves first, you will get a crowd, and in the audience will appreciate it that you're true to yourself. And I think that's all that matters as a musician. First, you got to be true to yourself for sure. And you're the people you're writing music with.
Even Todd,
wherever he's at these days.
That guy named Todd. Mr. Treadway, thank you very, very much for your time.
Well, thank you, sir.
I really enjoyed it.
A bad interview.
That's fine. That's why we have editing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.